Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, in his message titled, Blessing in the Midst of Chaos and Confusion. Reverend Derek Longbreak tells us that Jesus chose his disciples and then went back to work healing and preaching. Christ's message was that God has blessings, love, and grace for everyone, and Christ was demonstrating what it means to be like Christ in this world. Let us now join Reverend Longbreak as he explains God's word.
I invite you to be seated. As we enter into a time of confession, we realize that we're not always paying attention to God, that we're working so hard to try to do things on our own, and we're making mistakes, and we need forgiveness. And so let us now join first together in a prayer of confession, followed by silent confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength through Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, Lord, that you offer forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now hear the assurance of pardon. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our next scripture reading is from the New Testament, page 64. I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, starting with verse 17. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were healed. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. So in our scripture reading, Jesus arrives at a level place after he's picked 12 disciples to be special, to be sort of his chosen disciples. And they're met by a multitude of his other disciples and a great crowd of other people from all over. And they've come to hear him and to be healed. Now's the time for the Jesus organization to take off. But instead of announcing who his new disciples are, who the leadership is, instead of immediately laying out his strategic plan, Jesus went back to healing. Jesus went back to bringing hope and dignity and freedom and new life to individuals that drew near to him. And power was coming out of Jesus. Healing was happening. I want you to imagine, if you can, the chaos of this scene that's laid out for us. There's this huge crowd of people, and they're all trying to touch him, to touch this one man. They desperately wanted healing. They wanted to be near to this person where there was power. And you have this group of disciples who are trying hard to maintain their place near Jesus. And maybe they're even pushing aside those so they can make sure their master is not overrun by the people. Maybe more generously, they're trying to set up an organized process so people can come and get to Jesus in a certain order. Well, if we think about it, we all face chaos. We and others are searching for help and healing in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of places. We're trying to find different ways to make sense out of our life. And when we realize that Jesus offers life, we work hard to get near to him or to keep our place near to him. And when that happens, confusion can arise about how to live life as part of this kingdom of God. How do we stay near Jesus? How do we welcome others? What does it mean to be part of this emerging reality as a disciple of Jesus? Well, we're not alone. The disciples were confused. Why do so many people have access to Jesus when they were the ones who were his disciples, even his 12 hand-picked disciples? I mean, aren't we set apart from all these other people who have come to hear him? All these other people who have needs? The disciples may have wondered how Jesus would define their role in this emerging kingdom of God. Isn't Jesus going to teach us to figure out who can be a part of our group? When is Jesus going to tell us what we do to be a part of his kingdom? Well, whatever was being said there in the background as Jesus healed, something caused Jesus to look up from his healing and to speak. He broke off, demonstrating the reality of the emerging kingdom of God, to talk about it. You see, this kingdom is not just some abstract utopia, some sort of best case scenario, but the kingdom of God is God concretely entering into the brokenness of human lives, into the brokenness of history in a transformative way, offering holistic salvation in Jesus Christ. So Jesus speaks into the midst of chaos and confusion about the realities of the kingdom of God. At age 16, there was a young, skilled pianist named Andor Foldis. And he was having a confusing and troubling year. And in the midst of this young Hungarian's personal struggles, a renowned pianist, Emil von Sauer, who was the pupil, the last surviving pupil of another famous pianist named Franz Liszt, visited and asked this young pianist to play for him. Well, Andor obliged with some of the most difficult works of the most famous composers, Bach, Beethoven, and Schumann. And when he finished, von Sauer walked over to him and kissed him on the forehead. And he said, "My son, when I was your age, I became a student of Liszt. And he kissed me on the forehead after my first lesson, saying, 'Take good care of this kiss. It comes from Beethoven, who gave it to me after hearing me play. And I have waited for years to pass on this sacred heritage, but now I feel you deserve it.'" Andor received a blessing that shaped his identity and guided him throughout his life. Jesus helps his disciples understand the reality of God's kingdom in the midst of personal troubles, in the midst of chaos and confusion, by offering blessing. Jesus lists these blessings that would be guidelines, that would remind his disciples of this reality of a new kingdom that's based on a reliance on God. You see, these blessings, when you're offered a blessing, it's not something you can get for yourself. It's not something you can also keep among yourselves, among a select group of 12 disciples. Because no one is beyond God's blessing. And we can all have our identity and our future shaped by his blessing. However, in defining the reality of the kingdom, Jesus also mentions woes. This is sometimes harder to hear because we think of this as something that's condemning us, something we're doing wrong. But actually, this word woes isn't a word of condemnation or threat. It's more of a warning about a probable outcome. There's a theologian, Eugene Peterson, translates in his Message version of the New Testament. He translates this word woe as "it's trouble ahead." So these woes are warnings about the situations which people universally have regarded as desirable. You see, certain situations more easily derail our participation in the kingdom of God. Certain situations derail us as disciples. So these situations oftentimes provide us with the illusion of self-sufficiency, or they offer different ways for us to find wholeness or comfort or strength or purpose that are outside of God, that are outside of this kingdom reality. So we're going to take a moment and look at these blessings and woes and sort of pairings from Luke chapter 6. And we're just going to touch on them. We're just going to scratch the surface. The first pairing is, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." Well, the world looks down on the poor and says they are not blessed. But Jesus says it doesn't matter what money someone has. They have the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is available to all, even to those who aren't blessed in the world's eyes. Maybe you've heard someone come back from a country we consider that's poorer, and we hear someone speak about the joy that the people there have in the midst of their poverty. And we come back and we see all the anxiety and the lack of joy in our rich society. You see, there is trouble with being rich. We already have all we need, and there's no need for Jesus Christ or for his kingdom, because it actually may mean giving up some of what we have. We think that we don't need this blessing because we're already comfortable. We're already blessed without God. But consider what happened when the stock market crashed in October 1929. The people who committed suicide were those who had been rich and lost money, not those who were poor. Whether we are rich or poor, whether we gain riches or lose money, we need the knowledge that the kingdom of heaven is ours. And Jesus offers that blessing to us all. We have a reality that cannot be taken away when we follow Jesus. The second pairing of blessings and woes is this: blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Jesus' guidelines here for living life in God's kingdom addresses physical needs and emotions. When someone is currently hungry and sad, the world says those people are not blessed. Physical deprivation and sadness are seen as hindrances to a full life. But what Jesus does is brings the reality that no matter how much food someone has, no matter someone's emotional states, God's blessing is for them. Because if we're honest, sadness and hunger can come to anyone at any time. And when they do, we need to know the blessed reality of hope that comes from following Jesus. The third pairing: blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. For surely your reward is great in heaven. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. The world, our society, sees our identity as followers of Jesus Christ as foolishness. And there will be trouble in following Jesus, because the kingdom of God and this world that we live in are not the same thing. There's always the temptation to moderate our faith, to try to tone down the reality of the kingdom of God so that we fit in with those around us, so that we don't have to be excluded or even made fun of for our commitment to God. Martin Luther, famous theologian, says, "If we consider the greatness and glory of the life we shall have when we are risen from the dead, it would not be difficult at all for us to bear the concerns of this world." He continues, "If I believe the word, I shall on the last day, after the sentence has been pronounced, not only gladly have suffered ordinary temptations, insults, and imprisonment, but I shall also say, oh, that I did not throw myself under the feet of all the godless for the sake of the great glory which I see now revealed and which has come to me through the merit of Christ." When we think about being blessed, we think of getting richer. We think about not having to worry about our needs. When we think of being blessed, we think about being happier. We think about everybody liking us. But the values in the kingdom of God are different. The reality of God's kingdom undermines these things the world values. Maybe this can help us understand. In northern Chile, Between the Andes Mountains and the Pacific Ocean lies a narrow strip of land where the sun shines every day. Clouds gather so seldom over the valley that one can say it almost never rains here. And morning after morning, the sun rises brilliantly over the tall mountains to the east. And each noon it shines brightly overhead. And every evening brings a picturesque sunset. And although storms are often seen rising high in the mountains and heavy fog banks over the sea, the sun shines on this favored and protected strip of territory. Now, one might imagine this to be an earthly paradise, but it is far from that. It's actually a sterile and desolate wilderness. There are no streams of water. Nothing grows there. As humans, we try to remove the chaos and the confusion of our life by trying to live a life where the sun always shines. And those times when we succeed with our self-sufficiently, there are times when we succeed in that, but there's also times when we fail and we feel hopeless. But if we're working on our own to try to be in this place where the sun always shines, our souls are going to be sterile and desolate because we don't receive and see God's blessing that's offered in situations of poverty, in situations of trouble, when we're feeling like we don't have all we need. Because God's blessing is offered to us in our grief and sadness. God's blessing's offered when we feel beaten down by others, when our faith feels threatened. You see, in the face of all these circumstances that seem to create only hopelessness in the world's eyes, all of these places are places where we see more clearly God's blessing to us. And Jesus offers God's blessing not just to us, but to our neighbors in the midst of their wealth or poverty. Jesus offers God's blessing to us and to our neighbors, whether they're hungry or full, whether they're weeping or laughing, whether they feel oppressed and put down or honored, whatever the world may say. You see, the reality of the kingdom of God is blessing no matter our situation. We affirm and commit ourselves to this reality that blessing is found in Christ as we share in the life of the church. You see, the church joins together, all of us, the rich, the poor, the hungry, the full, the weeping, the laughing, those who are persecuted, or those who are thought well of in the community. And as we gather together to worship, we celebrate God's kingdom that is broken into the reality of this world, even though it's not come in all its fullness. See, we participate together in this kingdom where there is blessing through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the midst of chaos and confusion. There's blessing enough that people can crowd in. And even then, be healed. We participate together in this kingdom as part of the church, as we share the blessings that we've experienced in this community of faith, as we have been the face of Christ to one another, as we share that with all of those around us. Let us pray together. God, I pray for your blessing to be on this congregation. In the midst of all of the things that the world says are blessings, I pray that you would be with them in that. In the midst of all the places where they feel that they're not blessed, where there are struggles, where there are fears, where there are doubts, where there are needs, I pray that your blessing would be real to each of them and to this congregation as a whole. And I pray that your blessing would be so great and so full for them that it would overflow to others in this community and even farther away. God, surround us together as we seek to follow you, as we seek to be disciples. Surround us with your blessing. Again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Longbreak, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Know that you are blessed. And may the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you all and equip us all together to do every good thing in his will. Alleluia. Amen.